morning. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golza.
I think that's the first time I've said good morning.
Maybe.
On the program. It is morning.
It's generally morning when we're doing this program.
It generally is. But hey, we have our on-demand listeners who are listening at various times.
That's true. And it's not morning on the other side of the world, too.
That's true.
So, that's fair.
So, good day to our friends on... good night to our friends on the other side of the world who have already celebrated the feast that we're focusing on today.
Yeah. It's Ascension.
Oh, that blows my mind. They've already celebrated the feast.
What?
Oh. That's kind of like transcending time almost.
It is. That's crazy.
Ah, that's not even a good segue.
I tried. Valiant effort.
Thanks to our friends, Concordia University, Wisconsin. You're outstanding. Thanks for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them. Where can we find them, Sarah?
CUW.edu.
Yes.
Or KFUO.org.
Do you like how I threw that your way?
Yeah, I wasn't quite. I was like... absorbing my coffee.
So today is absorbing your coffee. Today is the Feast of Ascension.
It is
a feast, right?
Let's ask
the expert. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden, pastor of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. Regular guest here on KFUO, a number of programs. Mm-hmm. Probably mostly Thy Strong Word, but rope him in here on the Coffee Hour as much as we can, too.
Yeah.
Good morning, Pastor Golden.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good.
Blessed ascension of our Lord.
Thank you. You as well. A blessed ascension. I haven't ascended yet, though. I'm just hanging out here in the meantime while I wait for Jesus to come. Is this a feast? Is ascension considered a feast?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
This I was right.
Certainly yes. Be a high festival of the church year.
2,000 bonus points for me.
There you go.
Yes. Well, it's not the technical way to go about it. You can even note it this way that, it's one of the things that we confess in the creed every Sunday or every time we gather together and confess the creed. We confess Christ's ascension because it is one of those festivals.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen. So why is it a festival? Why is Christ's ascension really, really, I'm going to add one more, really important?
Yeah, well, there's manifold reasons, and it's tragically, it's one of the festivals that kind of gets mm-hmm. overlooked, even though we mm-hmm. do confess it every Sunday in the Creed.
Right.
It often gets overlooked, but the blessings are manifold, and one that I would probably put first and foremost is to change our perspective a little bit, because we think of the Ascension as the disciples watching Christ ascend, go up into heaven, mm-hmm. but change the perspective, and what is the heavenly view of this day? And that is Christ arriving in heaven, where he is placed at the right hand of the Father, so you, which is not about his spatial restriction to that spot, but rather about the authority that he receives. In other words, this is really the coronation of Christ today, that he is he's king.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
I'm going to just ponder
that. One of the reasons why, yeah, maybe that's why some American Christians struggle with this day, because Americans don't do royalty so well. You know, we threw off the shackles of the English monarchy
right.
centuries ago, and so we tend to object to to royalty. But hey, we have King Jesus, who is the benevolent king, who is perfect, and so it's a reason for us to celebrate his coronation.
That's an interesting perspective. I've never heard of that a perspective before.
Yeah, I know Tolkien didn't care for people
yeah.
running with his Lord of the Rings and reading too much into it. You know, he said, hey, this is a great story. And such, and it's not intended to be allegory or anything like that. But still, whenever I come across the coronation of the king at the tail end of the Lord of the Rings, it's one of the great joy and the solemn reverence and such that is taking place can begin to capture a bit of the joy of this day.
Yeah. So with those two perspectives in mind, with Jesus ascending and also his coronation, what are we actually celebrating, I guess? What does this actually mean for us post-ascension?
Right. So I read this once about a woman who, a faithful Christian, who was taught about the ascension, and it was mind-changing for her, because she always thought about, well, Jesus is now just kind of, well, not doing anything. But that doesn't, then all of a sudden she was taught about the ascension, And she realized, holy cow, this is incredible, because what is Christ doing now that he's ascended? Well, he's at the right hand of the Father. That means he has all authority. And therefore, what is he using that authority to do? Now, he uses his authority to care for us in manifold ways. But here's a specifically one that I would jump on is, at the right hand of the Father, he has the Father's ear. So what is he doing? He's your advocate. He speaks to the Father on your behalf. And the joy and certainty that that brings us, that when I confess my sin, I have one who has the Father's ear who pleads my case, and the Father cannot deny his Son.
Here's a fun question.
Oh, boy.
When we think of Jesus on earth, we think of him in human flesh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we think of him ascended, I think we tend to put that aside and only think of it in a spiritual sense. But is Jesus true? Has he ascended in his body?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he keeps that body for eternity. So the two natures in Christ, both human and divine, that human nature, including a human body, is his for eternity now. And so this is one of the beauties of my own congregation. I did not, this is not my own doing, so I can brag about it all I want. one of the things here at Village that is kind of the focal point is we have an altarpiece that is of Christ ascending. And one of the things I love about it is, in line with Luke 24, where we have the account of the ascension, it mentions he raises his hands in blessing over them. And so Christ's hands in this piece are raised in blessing. And if you look at his hands, you see the nail marks. There is the resurrected body of Christ that still bears the trophies of his passion, all right? So that it proclaims what he has won for us by his cross. And so, yeah, that he remains ever with that physical body.
That's just, it's like, makes my head hurt to try to comprehend.
But in a good way.
In a good way, that Christ is still has his flesh, but not on earth. Like, that does, in my human brain, can't. Mm-hmm.
True God and true man.
Yeah, it's just like, I can't wrap my head around that.
And of course, it's the resurrection body, which means it is a body that is perfected. Mm-hmm. And although he maintains those scars or the marks of his passion, the nail marks in the hands, in the side where the spear entered and such, these are not as if they are unhealed wounds, but rather these are things that proclaim what he has done for us. You might think about the book of Revelation, where John sees the ascended Christ in heaven, and he speaks of him. He says that he saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. All right, so the lamb is Christ. And he looks as if he's been slain because he bears those very marks of his passion. But now he is very much alive, and he's there to bring about all of God's blessings for God's people.
Now, what significance does that have that Christ still has a body? What does that do for us?
It promises that we will have the same. So he is the first fruits of those who are risen from the dead. So that just as he rose with a body, ascended with a body, and keeps that body for eternity, so also the same is true for us, that on the last day, our bodies will rise. They will be resurrection bodies like his, and that they will be perfected, and we will spend eternity not just as bodiless souls, but rather with body and soul perfectly united. And that, of course, allows a heightened joy of eternity. Scripture regularly speaks about eternity as a feast, all right? After all, hey, when we have high points in the church here, we have a festival. We love to eat. It's good stuff. And so that's what Scripture does. It talks about the unending feast. Well, a soul can't eat. A soul has no teeth, has no stomach, etc., but a body does. And so that's what we get to enjoy in eternity is both body and soul, both in perfection.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I eat with my soul.
Soul food? I don't know.
There you go. Yeah. But the true soul food is Jesus. Mm-hmm. Is the body and blood of Jesus. And what, mm-hmm. I think that, understanding this ascension that Jesus' true body, has ascended is comforting for me, but sometimes I think about how much my body fails. And so thinking about, you know, having this body in the resurrection sometimes is disconcerting, but there's hope there too, right, Pastor?
Right, right. Because once again, you will have a resurrection body. So it's not as if your body will have the limitations that you currently enjoy. Andy, well, and Sarah, you, all the three of us will all get to chuck our glasses because the eyes will do what they're supposed to do. Now, whenever I'm teaching this in catechesis and I mention to the kids, you know, resurrection bodies, I'll get to get rid of my glasses because my eyes will be perfected and will operate the way they're supposed to. There's always at least one kid who raises his hand and says, well, Pastor, does that mean you're going to have hair again? And I'm somewhat befuddled by that question because I guess, yeah, my hair follicle should work properly, but I won't need the hair because, you know, hair protects the head from getting scorched by the sun, but that's not going to be an issue.
Hair covers the perfect head, right?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Right.
Just ask Luther. He'll tell you that.
Insights. Outstanding insights on ascension. Thank you, Pastor, for helping us understand more about ascension. God's blessings as you gather. When are the folks at Village gathering for ascension service?
7 p.m. this evening.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you for the insights. Thanks for helping us understand ascension and how it's important for us today.
You're quite welcome.
Coming up in just a little bit, we had an opportunity recently to sit down with some students, Lutheran High School students here in the St. Louis area, who participated in the LCEF High School Student Entrepreneur Competition.
Yeah.
And man, these are just
smart.
Sharp.
Yes.
Yeah, sharp students. So we had a chance to record with them last week. You get to hear them in just a little bit. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.